Good morning. Thank you so much for spending your morning here with us on the Sunday edition. We're talking about a very important health concern, hepatitis A. In recent weeks, we've seen a lot of stories in the news about food workers, food service workers contracting hepatitis A. So we really need to know, what is this? What do we need to do? Let's say we've been to a place where later on we found out somebody at this place contracted, one of the workers contracted hepatitis A. Do I need to run in circles like my head's cut off, Jay Fiedler, with the Michigan Department of Human Services, Health and Human Services, or do we just take a breath and go talk to our doctors? What do we do?
Definitely don't run in a circle. You could run to your doctor.
That would be
a more directed action. So one of the things we do as in public health, when we do these investigations of people who are reported to us with hepatitis A, is find out what their employment history is. Do they work in what we would call a high-risk occupation? One of those is a food handler, because you have a high risk of transmitting that to other people. And so we are very concerned about that. So when we find that out, we work with the local health department, and we work with that food establishment, and we try to determine what that person did in that. When did they work? Did they have the potential to expose people in that restaurant or in whatever place of service that was?
Okay.
So when we do determine that people were working during their infectious period, we're working with local health departments and working with those employers to get the word out to the general public, to their patients or patrons, that you should be vaccinated, because if you are vaccinated within 14 days of exposure, it is a very effective vaccine at preventing hepatitis A virus.
Because the incubation period takes 2 weeks to 40 or 50 days, as you said earlier. Oh, see, I was listening.
Exactly. So this is called post-exposure prophylaxis.
Okay.
And so if you see, and we do press releases, we do public notification of these things so that people can have that information. And again, like you said, take that information to their provider. Let your provider know that I've been exposed at this location within the past 14 days, and I want a vaccine to prevent this illness.
And you just cleared up a mystery for me, because I didn't understand why the news stories I was hearing were saying, if you ate at this restaurant, go get a vaccination. And I'm thinking, well, that's closing the barn door after the cow got out. No, it's not. There is potentially a long enough incubation period that this could potentially be very helpful in keeping you from contracting this.
Yes.
Thank you so very much. See, you do have all the answers to questions I didn't know I had. Is this an epidemic, Jay? Is this an outbreak? Where are we? And I mean, we certainly don't want it to be an epidemic, but what do we call this right now?
Epidemic and outbreak, you might be splitting hairs in terms of if what you want to call it. We've been consistently referring to this as an outbreak at this point in time.
Okay.
We are very much above our baseline or our expected levels of hepatitis A in the communities that we're talking about here in Southeast Michigan.
And that's important to note. Now, if a food service worker has hepatitis A and they do not know it, and they're handling food, let's say it's hot food, is it cooked out at certain temperatures, or is it too late, or what will kill it?
So there are temperatures that will cook out or kill hepatitis A virus, and that's part of the assessment that happens with the local health departments and their environmental health staff that work with restaurants on a regular basis to talk about food safety with their staff and their employers.
Very important.
So if, say, a manager finds an employee who is sick or has an employee report to them that they are sick, which is very important that people report to their employers in these situations to stop the transmission of this illness, then we really do ask those managers, supervisors, operators, owners to talk to your local health department and to engage your environmental health staff to help make those assessments so that we can, as we said, look at what processes were involved and determine if people could be impacted by this, and then make appropriate recommendations for people to be able to get vaccinated and protect themselves.
That's the key word here today, isn't it? Vaccination. Let's say it is a cold food product. Let's say you have the strawberries on the shelf and somebody has handled those, but then it goes to the next part of the food station and it's washed well. We're not talking about high temperatures. We're just talking about a fruit and vegetable wash. That's not going to do it, is it, necessarily? I mean, that might help us with E. coli when we're doing a good washing of our fruits and vegetables. But with something like this, I'm guessing not so much.
I'm not a sanitarian, but really what we're looking for is the kill step. We're looking for heated product. We're looking for cooking that would kill it. as being protective. We're not looking at things like washing as being protective in these cases. We're taking basically the most conservative approach that we can to try to prevent the transmission.
Which we have to. Food service workers, washing is important for the food service workers. Hand washing, virulent hand washing with soap. And I know recently I was reading a story about a place down in South Carolina shut down, and they were just listing all of the health violations. And one of them was there wasn't even soap at the hand washing station for the food service workers. Okay, I don't need to be a rocket scientist or a sanitarian. I didn't know that was a thing, but now I learned that it is, to know that's just plain dumb. Come on. That's dangerous for everybody, isn't it?
It is. It's dangerous for a lot of reasons, from, you know, when you think about uncooked food can have salmonella, to things transmitting, persons
right.
transmitting diseases that they may be carrying. Yes.
I'm kind of the notion that you can't go too far overboard in being careful. You should see me in my kitchen when I'm cooking at all. I sneeze in the opposite direction. I still go and scrub my hands. My hands are so dry because I wash them 800,000 times a day with soap. I'd rather have dry hands and not get my kids sick with something, scrub and bleach my countertops rather than have raw chicken germs on there. I think when we are in the food service industry, Jay, we need to take even more steps. It's not just our health. Everybody who comes in there and orders any meal in that restaurant, you're responsible in a big, big way for making sure that I stay healthy. So please take it seriously, right?
Exactly. And I'll touch on two things that you just said there as well. Hand washing, like we said, we're really focusing on hand washing. Hand sanitizers are not shown to be effective against hepatitis A virus.
Okay.
So we're really pushing the hand washing message. And I lost the second. Oh, the bleach. You were talking about using bleach. And again, hepatitis A being a hardy virus, it really is, cleaning with bleach is recommended. And there are appropriate ways to do that. And there are appropriate guidelines. Many of those, again, listed on our websites. And I'm going to plug one for you right now.
Yes, please.
Which is michigan.gov/food safety.
Okay.
The words food safety. This is the MDARD website, and it provides those recommendations that we've talked about for food handlers. But when it comes to cleaning with bleach and how to clean your food and your cooking environments, there's also information that the general public can use there as well.
Perfect. We only have about a minute left. Let us make sure again we give that website one or two more times, please.
So the first website that I just gave was michigan.gov/food safety. The other one that I would really like to plug that I haven't done so far is michigan.gov/hepatitis A outbreak.
Wow, there's a whole... That tells us how big this is, Jay. That tells us how big this is. Give that one again, please.
So again, michigan.gov/hepatitis A outbreak.
Spell hepatitis for people who don't know how to spell it, please.
H-E-P-A-T-I-T-I-S.
Hepatitis A outbreak. It is right there on the michigan.gov website. This is so important, folks. That immunization is critical. And now I really understand why. You've really shed a lot of light on some things. I know that this morning you are keeping a whole lot of folks healthy and easing some people's minds. So I thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Once again, this is Jay Fiedler with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and we're learning a whole bunch of things about hepatitis A and how to protect ourselves. I appreciate your spending the morning here with us. Pass this information along to friends and loved ones. Let's keep everybody safe and healthy. Thank you for spending your morning here with us. Once again, I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.